Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 58, Language Arts Continued. In this and the following lectures, I'm going to examine three aspects of our work with language arts in third grade. The first is to discuss reading. The second aspect we will look at will be writing. And finally, the new subject that we begin to approach towards the end, or from the middle to the end of third grade, and that is the subject of grammar. So let's look at reading first. Continuing through third grade, as has been true in grade 2 and certainly in grade 1, the question that parents ask most is, how is the class reading? Or more specifically, is my child reading? Is my child improving in reading? Is my child reading at grade level? Waldorf teachers don't know how lucky they are concerning this, because the parents are so obsessed with reading that they usually don't have much to say or ask about math. So you can really make your mistakes in this extremely difficult path, where Waldorf schools are do not do such a great job on the whole, and where on the whole you're not going to be getting a lot of good guidance in this. So this gives you a little bit of breathing space, but as you'll see when we discuss teaching arithmetic later in this conference, that don't rest on your laurels for too long. But anyway, back to reading. So this is America's obsession. This is the key to what people believe is, you know, endless success and going your own way in life, being able to read. It's so incredibly ridiculous what people think reading does for an individual, particularly in our time. But anyway, there it is, and it's important that in every parent evening you speak about reading, and I don't only mean by saying the children are reading a lot better now, or they're really enjoying reading, but to go into some of the latest theories about reading, to go into some of the latest research about reading, not just to find things that substantiate our slow way of going about it, but rather just showing how confusing and contradictory almost all of the research that goes on is. You can prove anything you want about reading by taking the latest and best research that just came out. You know, everybody has a totally different point of view about which centers of the brain are active, and is it more visual, or is it more auditory, or is it kinesthetic, or whatever. It's good to let parents know that we're not the only ones who are kind of vague about what it takes to help a child to learn to read. In fact, we may know better than anyone that it pretty much is not a subject that can be taught the way other subjects can. So we'll come back to this. Right now in your class, you finished second grade, and I would venture to guess that probably one-third of the children in your class, if tested in some standardized way right now, probably would be reading at about a late, mid to late second grade level. There might be one or two reading beyond that, but pretty much those who've come through the Waldorf system, nursery, kindergarten on, one-third of that group would be reading at or near second grade level. So that's the good news. Then probably the second third of the class is reading, once again, on a standardized level, would be reading late first grade or very early second grade, somewhere in that. So they also are reading, though they're still struggling with aspects of it, which the first group is already getting quite comfortable. And the first group is able sort of to be self-starters when it comes to reading. The second group still needs your help and supervision. And then one third of the class is hardly reading at all. Some of them are still struggling with the 26 letters of the alphabet. Others only have a mastery of a few words and otherwise cannot necessarily look at them and sound them out in any consistent way. This division of the class into thirds will come up again and again. Wherever we're talking about a skill, and this will be in physical education, it will be in handwork, eurythmy, anything that involves the child really not just sort of passively listening. It's true in drawing, and it will be true in other things as well, where the child really has to do something to show mastery of something. You're going to tend to get this division into thirds. So it isn't a mark of your poor teaching. It's just a mark of what's a very, very normal tendency in children's learning and in human life altogether. Indeed, if we look at that first group, the ones who are already reading at grade level, it's very possible that some of those children would have tested at grade level at the end of grade one as well. In fact, it could be that they came into first grade already able to read a number of words, that some of them voluntarily relinquished all of that knowledge and skill because they wanted to learn to read all over again, the Waldorf way. There are children who will talk about actually doing this. And then back they came into that world, perhaps half forgetting the books that they read when they were in kindergarten, and now it seems as though they learned to read in school. Don't believe it. The children who are able to read by the end of second grade, my guess is that most of these children read in their last incarnation. They were literate in their last incarnation when they lived very likely in the Middle Ages and probably were connected with monasteries or perhaps with a very progressive aristocratic house that allowed them to pick up some of these skills, otherwise seen to be quite unnecessary for the conditions of that time. So they were sort of an elite, a literate elite, and therefore they come into this life, and that capacity is already to some degree imprinted on their etheric body. As soon as they meet it again, it comes back to life. And you, as a teacher, and Waldorf methodology have very little to do with making that happen. All that you do is not sort of squeeze it out of them too soon, force it out of them, as many schools wish to do nowadays. And this is why they can come into it very young. They can give it away for a while. They can take it back in. It lives in them very, very comfortably. And they will probably continue to be good readers. And what is good about children like this being in a Waldorf setting is that we don't allow them to rush headlong into books that are too advanced for them. Or we don't just give them assignments which require them to read, 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 but rather we give them other things that can balance out that capacity. In this way, we hope that they're going to remain to be enthusiastic readers for the years to come. So we don't have to worry much about them. The third, the group that is not yet reading, this is the year in which this group, maybe half of the group, maybe a third of that third of the group, will take some very big steps in third grade. By the end of third grade, you would want the first third of the group that's reading very well, to continue that way. The second third will have taken some incremental steps. The second third, this middle group, will probably always be 6 months, 9 months behind on a standardized test. But that's not the end of the world. And some of them may be just 3 months. And some will catch up to the faster ones. But it's the group that is lagging behind the most. They in third grade may indeed take one or another step forward. And what's going on here? There are probably two things that are contributing to the slowness of that group. One of them is the kind of child who's still reversing a lot of letters. For them, you know, letters are just form drawings in a way, and they, just as on their form drawings, they go backwards and whatever, they can't always get it straight. Same thing with the letters. So reversal is a big issue for them. There are other things as well, but that's probably going to be central. The other group are the children who do not reverse the letters. They can even identify the letters. But when they try to put the letters together into words or to look on the printed page at a group of letters that are forming a word, the letters are jumping around. They're kind of playing tricks on the child, moving about on the page. And or the child says there are colors around them. There are sort of rainbows, and they can't really understand what the letter is because it's obscured by that. Okay, so the first group, reversal. What part of the human being is always turning things inside out, upside down, and right to left? You know? The etheric body. It's the etheric body that is the negative of the physical body. And therefore, where the etheric body is dominant, if it's still working actively around organs, let's say the human eye, the optic nerve, parts of the brain, it's still working formatively, the laws of the etheric body will dominate. And the etheric body is not yet ready to work with other parts of our nature to allow the forms to revert to their physical stature so that a bee looks like a bee and the rounded part faces right and an F looks like an F and so on. So this means the etheric body is still active. It has not yet pulled back in the way that it did for some children in grade one, or certainly at some point or other in grade two. The etheric is still strong. And this will sometimes manifest in a child who has not yet had their second dentition. They may not have lost any teeth, or they've lost one or two, and the others are lagging behind. These are signs that the etheric body needs more time to complete its formative and organizational work on the child. And you don't want to rush that. And this is an area you can see where Steiner's terminology, Steiner's picture of the fourfold human being becomes practical and becomes helpful. If you've been talking to your parents about these four bodies all along, now when you say to them, well, we really have a kind of etheric body issue here, they're not going to look at you like you're crazy or feel that you're just making excuses for yourself. They will already have an understanding of what that means. This is why to say, don't scare the parents away, don't give them that terminology, we are really sawing off the most solid limb upon which we have to sit if we do that. Because there's no way of explaining the reversal of these letters without alarming people that there's something wrong with my child's eyes or optic nerve, but to say rather that the etheric body is protecting the child right now trying to continue that sort of cocoon-like, that water droplet mantle around the child, the child just needs a little more time, they will understand why the child is actually being protected from reading. And when it is ready, it will come, and it may very well happen in this third grade year. Because etheric changes like this can really come from one day to the next. As the astral body is streaming towards the etheric then may no longer need to defend the child, and the reversals can come to an end. So that's certainly a possibility. Now, what about the other child who says that the letters are jumping around and there are colors there? We'll look at this in our next segment.